from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, May the 25th, 2017. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service teaching on generational inherited curses.
True. trophies, and last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Would you stand and sing it with us? So I'll cherish the old trophies at last I lay down. I would cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Sing it again. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise, hallelujah.
The cross of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We come and we bow before you with trembling hearts before you, before our King, our God. We praise you and we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for this offering tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that it brings to this camp. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are here tonight and that are going to come this weekend to the camp. We ask, Lord, that you bless every one of them, that their needs will be met starting tonight.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Sins forgiven.
Yes.
Grudges.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Long time grudges forgiven. Yes. People that have done evil things to these people that are here tonight, we forgive them. We forgive them as you forgive us, Father, for their great forgiveness.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the great forgiveness you have given us. And we forgive those, our enemies, those who have hurt us and do evil to us. We forgive them also. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit come and move in this congregation this weekend. We ask, Lord, that you start through revelation.
Yes.
A revelation of your word, Lord, starting tonight.
Yes.
A revelation that will strike a revival across this nation.
Yes. 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 Yes.
A revival, a holy, yes. Holy, yes. Holy revival.
Yes.
Across this nation, that you would break up your people, Lord. Break them up. Wake them up, Lord. Wake them up and show that they need to stand up for our country, for what is right, Lord, and come against those evil beings in the spirit world that is coming against our country, Lord. Drive that darkness back. Drive it back, Lord, with your holy angels, with your swords drawn. Drive them back with a light that they cannot stand. A light that blinds them back and causes them to fail and fall down. Let your light shine across this nation. Across this nation tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Well, let me just pray before we get started over the newcomers. Lord, we thank you that they are here. We thank you for what you're going to do for them while they're here. We ask you to stand your mighty angels around them, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil can penetrate. I bind every blocking spirit, every hindering spirit, that would keep them from receiving what you have for them. Father, I call on mighty angels to come and do warfare over this place while this meeting is going on in the heavenlies, so we might have an open heaven to receive from you everything that you want to bless us with from heaven. We thank you, Father. I bind every spirit of infirmity that would cause them to fall sick while they're here. I bind every familiar spirit that came with everybody here. I bind them right now that they cannot communicate, that they cannot party with each other in the spirit realm. I bind every spirit that's been sent here for harm in the name of Jesus. I break the power of those spirits that are being directed toward this place because of what it is and what we do here. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It is Memorial Day weekend. I was thinking about Memorial Day and remembering, you know, we take a special time in the world to remember those that have given their life so that we can live in freedom. And I would rather cause it to be a memorial day of what Jesus did.
Amen.
And the victory that he has given us on this earth and even in the spirit realm. And that's kind of what we do here. We deal with those things. I love the message of deliverance, the casting out of demons. It has changed my life more than anything else other than getting saved. That was the first. And then deliverance is getting those things cast out, dealing with those, the baggage that came with us into our new life with Jesus Christ. Now, it is believed by some that all of that got taken care of when we got saved. But if that was true, then why do we still get sick? If that was true, then why are we tormented in our minds and in our spirits and in our body? We do need to forgive those who have hurt us, but what we really need to understand is that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Those who have hurt us, we're being agents of the enemy. He is ultimately our enemy. He uses people, even people that we love, to hurt us and wound us. He uses people to set up plans and assignments to hinder the work of God. And he'll even use Christians. It's amazing that that happens, but we need to know who we're dealing with. We need to know how to deal with who we're dealing with. We need to understand who we are in Christ. If you have accepted him as your Savior, it says that we are seated with him above all powers and principalities. We're seated with him. We're above the angels, y'all. We don't have to be afraid to call on the angels. Hey, I call on even Michael the archangel. Even people, you know, because of that scripture in Jude that even... rebuking the enemy or whatever, and they say, even Michael the archangel. Yes, but we're above. Even Michael the archangel. We are brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
And we really need to get a revelation of that.
Amen.
Because you're going to find yourself beat up, until you understand who you are in Christ, and then you say, no way. Jesus Christ got the victory, and I'm walking in that victory. It belongs to me. It is our inheritance. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom, is salvation, healing, and deliverance. It belongs to God's people. It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to God's people. And so if we have these things in our power, then we need to use them.
Amen.
Jesus said, the things that he did, we shall do also. That's what he said, did he not? Yeah. Those things didn't go away. That power did not leave with Jesus. In fact, he left so he could send himself to every one of us. Satan thought he was going to get Jesus killed. But what he didn't know is like he uses the kingdom of heaven like a grain of sand, a grain of corn that falls into the ground and it dies. And then it multiplies. First the stalk, then the ears, and then many kernels on many ears. Now he's dealing with Jesus in you, and Jesus in you, and Jesus in you, and Jesus in you. That's what the devil's got to deal with. Yeah. But guess what? So many of us have been Christians for years, and we don't even understand that. Mm-hmm. It's time to understand who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Now, what I want to take care of tonight, and the reason I want to take care of it tonight is because I'm going to open my Bible so that I can get my phone out. Because I did my notes on my phone, which I was going to forward to an email and then go have them printed out. Uh-oh, what did I do with my phone, Lord? Oh. Here it is. Okay. So, I want to talk to you about generationally inherited curses. And those are things that have fallen on every one of us from our ancestors. We had nothing to do with these spirits that came to us. They came when we were born, when we were conceived. Those spirits were in the seed of the man and the woman. Whatever was in your mother's bloodline, whatever was in your father's bloodline, is in you. And then we grow up and deal with the same things that they dealt with. I have been amazed after learning about these curses how things seem to repeat themselves in families. You know, there will be a man who is a woman chaser and then he has a son or several sons or whatever. And then, you know, among those will be a woman chaser. Then all the spirits don't fall on everybody. I describe it kind of like that Plinko game on Price is Right. Have you ever seen that? You drop that thing and it hits all these pegs and it'll slide over here. And, of course, there's money amounts at the bottom and everybody's hoping for that $10,000 or whatever it is. And it may be headed in that direction and then bump one and fall into zero. Well, it's the same way with our genes. It says that the sins of the fathers, the iniquities of the fathers will be revisited upon the children of the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. And then everybody goes, oh, my goodness, I've never hated God. No, but before we knew God, before Jesus Christ was our Savior, we were all our own gods, right? That word hate has to do with loyalty. And before we knew Jesus Christ, we were not loyal to God. So guess what? We all fall in that category, where the iniquities of the fathers fall upon the children of the third and the fourth generation. I did the math on that one time. It's like, okay, two people get married, and then they have parents, and then they have parents, and then they have parents. And so it's like 32 or 64 joined people whose genetics are trickling down when someone is conceived. So you have, that's why you may be not like your mother. I'm not like my mother. I'm just like my mother's sister. Before I had new deliverance, that was not a good thing. She had a controlling spirit. We call it the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel had a lot of those spirits. I had an anger problem. I mean, I had explosive rage. They would come out when I least expected it. You know, Jesus made an open show of the demons. Well, the demons made an open show out of me for many years. That's why I love what goes on here. Because you can be free from those things that cause you not to be able to live your Christian life successfully.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, that is a thank you, Jesus. So, what does that mean? I'm gonna talk about one in particular, and it's the generationally inherited Antichrist spirit. And the reason I want to deal with that Antichrist spirit is because if it's present, and in many of us it is, then everything else that goes on here might not be effective because that spirit blocks it. The definition of Antichrist is an opponent of the Messiah, one that opposes another, acting as an opposing force. And the definition of oppose means to resist. So there may be a spirit operating in you that you are totally unaware of that will resist the things of God and keep you from being able to live the Christian life. I struggled. I think it was like, okay, I got saved when I was 23 and I was 30. Whenever I began to learn about these things. So for all those years, I struggled trying to walk the Christian life because there was an opposing force in me. These spirits that came down to me generationally were giving me some problems. You know, when you're at church for a couple of hours, several hours a week, you can kind of keep that thing under control. As soon as I got in the car, that was it. When I taught Sunday school to the little children, I could be so loving and so patient. And then I got in the car with my three, and they're all whining, they're tired, they're hungry. Not so sweet. And I hated that. But no matter how hard I tried it, I could not control it. I think that I've come to the conclusion there's three things that you can do with evil spirits that are in you. You can medicate them. You know, if their demons get out of control, well, you take a pill that keeps them in check. Or you can punish them, depending on what your demons are. Maybe you have a demon of murder or child molestation, or domestic abuse, or stealing, or, you know, now those kind of demons we put in jail. We lock them up. And you know, while they're in jail, those demons don't give them a bit of trouble because their host is locked up. But boy, the minute they get out of jail, party, party. I mean, they go at it. That's why it's a revolving door. You know, it's sad that their prisons, when they have these rehabilitation programs or whatever they are, anger management, you don't manage anger. Anger manages you. If we had prisons where we could actually deal with the people's demons, I mean, there are demons that won't even let people get saved. So listen, this ministry of casting out demons is a much needed ministry in the church. Thank God for places like this that people can come to get what they need. But, you know, that was something that Jesus intended when his people came together. Listen, everywhere Jesus, there was a gathering. The demons cried out. And Jesus dealt with them. And then that was the example to the disciples, that when you go out, you do the same thing. Do what I did. He sent them out and he said, preach the gospel of the kingdom, not just the gospel of salvation. That's needed, but that's about where it stops. You get saved and then you go to church. And you still go to work and you still do all your other things and you add church to what you already had. There's more to it than that. So thank God we can come here. You can punish them. The third thing is you can try to manage and control them, try to keep them in check, which I know is like trying to hold a ball an inflated ball underwater. Oh, you can do it for a while. But then that thing pops up and there you are. That's how it is. Or, and then there's this, you can cast them out in the name of Jesus. But without that, those other three things are all you have. And believe me, our whole world is either on drugs or in jail or trying to manage and control them. 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, God in the flesh?" It says those who deny that, he is Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. There is an Antichrist that will come, but we're talking about the spirit of Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So that puts to rest all these other religions that say that all religions lead to God. No, they don't. Jesus Christ is the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. 1 John 4:3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So probably, if I asked how many here have an Antichrist spirit, most of us would not raise our hands. How would we know? Remember that comedian that was so big some years back? "You might be a redneck if..." Remember that comedian? Well, I changed the wording a little bit. "You might have the Antichrist spirit if..." If you find it difficult to understand the Bible, you sit down and read and read and read, you don't get anything out of it. Or when you sit down to read, you fall asleep. Amen. Or you start making a to-do list or a grocery list. Just drawn away, can't really concentrate on the Word. Or you have the curse of the bastard operating in your life. What do I mean by that? There's two scriptures I want to look at. The first one is Deuteronomy 23:2, and it says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter in to the congregation of the Lord." Now let me explain this bastard curse. In the Old Testament, God told his people, the Hebrews, "Do not take other people for your daughters, and do not give your daughters to their sons. Don't take their daughters for your sons, or give your daughters to their sons." A Hebrew who had a child with any other nationality, that child was considered an illegitimate birth. A bastard. Ugly word, but there's lots of them. They were literally not allowed to enter into the congregation. When God's people came together, they could not. They were not allowed. In fact, they were sent to live in a different place. It was called Ashdod. You look that up and it'll describe someone who has that spirit. I like to look words up. Now, this is not a teaching on the bastard curse, but after we talk about it, if you feel that this is something you need more information about, there's been many teachings here, but I've done a teaching, and you can find it on lhbconline.com. You go to that website, the page comes up, you can scroll down, there's a list of names there, find my name, click on there, and then look for the curse of the bastard. It's about an hour and a half teaching, and it explains it to a T, and there'll be a lot more there than you're going to get tonight. But at the end of these teachings are deliverance prayers. And you can get deliverance listening to a teaching just like if you were here. The Word of God is anointed.
Amen.
No matter where you hear it. I had that spirit very strong in my life. And I'm thankful that I wouldn't be standing here if that had not been broken off my life. When I went to one semester in college, college was never my desire. I was a terrible student in school. I always wanted to be a teacher, but you had to go to college to be a teacher. And then I found out school teachers are not the only kind of teachers. God had a different plan. I am a teacher, but not a school teacher. But I had to take speech, and there was no way in the world I could have gotten up in front of people. I didn't go to any of my classes, and look where I am today. That's what Jesus can do. See, fear of man, you have fear of rejection, you feel rejected, you feel like nobody wants you, nobody loves you, you don't even love yourself, and you don't believe God loves you. And you can't even receive the love of God if you have the Spirit. That's why I'm going to break it tonight.
Amen.
This generationally inherited, and there's an Antichrist spirit with it. Because everything that that spirit operates in is against the Word of God. It opposes the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? That you're loved, that you're accepted in the Beloved. But that spirit says, you are not. God doesn't even love you. You're not worth loving. That's what the bastard curse will say to you. And even though I was the baby of my family, doted over, my brothers think I was the favorite, I didn't feel like the favorite. I didn't feel like I was loved. No matter how many times a day you told me, I love you, I love you, I love you. I got married to Mike. I didn't believe he loved me either. Insecure, jealous, suspicious. All of that goes along with the bastard curse. So you can find that online. But in this day and time, we would never forbid anybody from coming into the church that wanted to worship. And it's not a literal and physical thing today. It's a spiritual thing. So people who have this spirit will come to church and sit in church, sit under the Word of God, but they don't feel like God loves them. They don't believe the Word. They want to believe the Word, but it doesn't resonate with their life and therefore must not be true. They're full of doubt and unbelief, fear. So it's a spiritual thing. And then also in Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 8, this is what it says. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So these scriptures say that if you have not been properly loved, properly disciplined, this spirit can be present. So if you were abused mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, you might have this spirit working in your life that also has an Antichrist spirit. And it will keep you from being able to receive the love that you need to receive. And it will also keep you from being able to give love to others like you want to. You're closed up in the loving department. It's called an unloving spirit. Isn't that cruel? That's a cruel spirit. that when you're starved for love, you can't even receive it. Even though people are shedding it upon you all the time, you still can't feel love. Therefore, we have a lot of people who are running around looking for love in all the wrong places. They have so much pain because they need love so badly, they anesthetize that emotional pain with drugs, with alcohol, with sex, with gambling, with shopping, with food, with video games, with Facebook, with, I mean, anything that they can fill that hole with. They're trying to make themselves feel better, to feel loved. So we're going to break that tonight. If you were abandoned, if you were ever abandoned, perhaps you were given away when you were born. Or maybe your parent died when you were very young and you felt like they left you. I mean, it wasn't by their choice, but, you know, little children... I can remember being 5 years old. Well, I think my mother went to work. She said when I was 18 months old. And when I, you know, there's a cycle of life. We all come to this point in our life when we try to figure out what's wrong with me. Then you start looking at your parents. You know, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that and blah, blah, blah. We want to blame somebody for what's wrong with us. Why is my life not good? Why am I not happy? Why do things go so wrong for me? We start looking for the answer. And to a little child, when my mother went to work, I don't remember making this decision in my head, but I'm pretty sure somewhere along the line, I had the thought that she didn't want to be with me anymore. Because she left every day. Okay, so, but, you know, many things happen. Parents get divorced. And that spirit can come into a child because many children think that if maybe they had done something differently, their parents wouldn't get divorced. They take on a false responsibility, which is also a part of this bastard curse. A false responsibility. You're the guilty one, no matter what. It's a false guilt. I can remember in school, they would call us all together, and somebody had written on the bathroom wall, and they are giving us a lecture. And I know if they were looking for a guilty face, they thought I did it. I've never written on a bathroom wall in my life, but I feel guilty, and I didn't even do it. What's up with that? Isn't that a cruel spirit? Making you feel guilty when you didn't even do it? That's not nice. Maybe they didn't abandon you, but maybe they weren't there for you emotionally. This happens many times of children with alcoholic parents or parents who check out on drugs all the time. They're there, but they're not there. So the child feels abandoned, feels unloved. And then they have to take on false responsibility. They become the parent. They're taking care of the sick mom or the sick dad. This happens a lot. Or all the children that are underneath them in the home, that responsibility falls on them. Maybe they're an alcoholic or a workaholic. Out gone all the time, working. And it, you know, the child thinks that the parent doesn't want to be with them, and the parent's trying to provide a good living for the kids. So it works against in a way that you wouldn't expect it to work. And if you're not loved and disciplined properly, children that are left to themselves with no discipline do not feel loved. To a child, discipline equals love. I tell my daughter, she has two little children, I said, listen, when he's misbehaving like that, he is begging you to love him enough to make him stop it. So we want to get rid of this spirit. This spirit causes one to feel unloved, unwanted, rejected, not worthy to be loved, that God doesn't love you, you're never good enough, unable to love others, you have self-hatred, depression, bondages, addictions, fears, and a disinterest in the things of God. That's the way it spiritually works today, where in the Old Testament, they literally were not allowed to enter into the congregation. You can enter into the congregation, but somehow you're just, you can't seem to get it. You want it, but it's just not happening. And then you're convinced, the Spirit comes along and says, see, it's not for you. God doesn't love you. He loves that. Oh, look how he treats that one over there, but he doesn't even care about you. That's what that Spirit does. Okay, so let's... Now, forgiveness is a big key in this. We do hold others responsible for things that have happened to us. And there are, even sometimes it's true, you know, they are responsible for your outcome, but you still have to forgive them. Forgiveness is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. But here's the problem we have. When someone has hurt us, abused us, abandoned us, to forgive them makes it seem like we're saying that what they did was okay. That's not the case at all. Forgiveness is for you, not the other person. You, when you forgive, you get free. If you don't forgive, the word says in Matthew chapter 18 that you are put into a prison. And then it says you're turned over to the tormentors. It doesn't specify what those torments are. But it, torment is not good. It could be sickness. It could be financial problems. It could be marital problems. It could be car problems, work problems, just torment. So as I've been talking, you may have thought about some people that you feel are responsible, but you need to forgive them now so that you can be free of this spirit that is possibly having an effect on your life, and you don't want that. Okay, so I'm just going to say a prayer, and I pray that your heart will be in agreement and that you can repeat this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive my ancestors for causing the curse of the bastard to be on my life. I want to stop a minute because of this curse, and because there are so many children today, and I remember it started kind of back when I was in high school. Used to, when girls got pregnant and they weren't married, most of those babies were put up for adoption. But not anymore. Most of them are kept by the mother who may be 14, 15, it doesn't matter how old she is. They keep the baby, and I understand why they want to do that. But this curse is a real thing. And so I remember telling my husband, and it was even more prevalent when my kids were growing up, that all of these children that are being born illegitimately are going to have this curse. They're not going to be interested in the things of God. And we're going to see an outbreak of evil in this world like we've never seen before. And that's been happening. I forgive my ancestors for causing the curse of the bastard to be on my life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the curse of the bastard off my life and off my descendants. I break the power of the Antichrist spirit that comes with that curse. And I command it to get out of me now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of doubt and unbelief, Go.
Go.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Unworthy spirit.
Unworthy spirit.
Self-hatred.
Self-hatred.
Rejection.
Rejection.
Fear.
Fear.
Inferiority.
Inferiority.
Insecurity.
Insecurity.
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
Depression.
Depression.
Death wishes.
Death wishes.
Go in the name of Jesus. All generational pride.
All generational pride.
Arrogance and haughtiness.
Arrogance and haughtiness.
Go in the name of
Jesus.
See, when you have rejection, it's going to work out either in fear and all of its demons or pride. And those two things are contradictions to one another, but those are the two ways that rejection will manifest. I bind and break the power of the deaf and dumb spirit.
All learning disabilities.
Go in the name of Jesus.
I bind all arrested development.
Now let me stop right there. Arrested development takes place when it can happen in the womb if a pregnancy is unwanted. And let me tell you, every woman who becomes pregnant and is not married, immediately when she finds out, even when she suspects that she could be pregnant, tremendous fear comes into her. Fear. And then that fear drives her to the what if. Okay, well, what if I have the baby and this? What if I don't have the baby? What if I have an abortion? What if I give it up for adoption? You know, she goes through all those options. And when a woman is thinking these things, spirits are coming into the fetus. Rejection, fear, infirmities, even birth defects. I think that it happens when that fear comes in. It arrests the development of the fetus for a span of time. And then when she makes the decision, it eases off, but the damage is already done. That whatever's being formed at the time of her fear. So, arrested development, when children experience a trauma, abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, it causes arrested development in the mind. Drugs and alcohol can do the same thing. You may have generationally inherited arrested development. If your mother drank alcohol, if she was an alcoholic, or drugs were involved, or if she was pregnant and her husband beat her all the time, or there's any number of things that can happen when you're in the womb that can cause arrested development to take place. And then you have learning disabilities, sometimes retardation, sometimes who knows what all is involved in this. So, I bind all arrested development and call for a supernatural maturity
to my chronological age.
I speak healing to your minds right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. Receive it in the name of Jesus. All those diseases that are caused by fear and rejection, all those deaf and dumb spirits, learning disabilities, ADD, ADHD, autism, get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Speech impediment, hearing problems. Not being able to learn, struggling in school all the time, all those arrested development spirits, get out in the name of Jesus. All alcohol fetal syndrome, go in the name of Jesus. All fear in the womb, go in the name of Jesus. All strife and contention that took place in the home while you were being formed in your mother's womb,
I speak healing to all that arrested development that took place. In Jesus' name. Even sorrow and grief. Babies can still have sorrow in the womb. I loose upon you now the love of God, acceptance, assurance, the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I call you in now to the congregation of the Lord. I loose upon you knowledge and understanding, an anointing to read the Word, comprehend the Word of God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sonship, you are sons and daughters. Okay, you might have an Antichrist spirit if your ancestors were involved in religions, fraternities, cults, secret societies. It says in John 18:20, Jesus said, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And in secret, I have said nothing. Yet we want to join clubs that, you know, you have to be an exclusive member. You got to have a secret word to get in, or a secret handshake, or you have to be a member. And every culture has their secret societies. Every culture, every people have their secret society. Ephesians 5:12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Organizations in which Jesus Christ is not acknowledged as the Son of God, or their traditions violate the Word of God, or their traditions violate, or their doctrines, even churches whose doctrines violate the Word of God. You heard them.
Yeah.
Jesus was just another prophet, another teacher. Or Jesus, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, but miracles ended when the apostles died. Is that contradictory to the Word?
Yeah.
That's an Antichrist spirit. I bind the spirit of offense. I loose the spirit of truth. I bind the lying spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of truth. Oh, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, but speaking in tongues is of the devil. Uh-oh. That's contradictory to the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God, but we worship His mother, Mary. And we say prayers to particular saints for dead people. They don't call them dead people. But those that are dead are dead. And if you're praying to them, that's referred to as necromancy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 9, or is it 18? Is it 9 or 18? Deuteronomy chapter 18, I think, maybe verse 9. Somebody can find that for me, and so I have it correct on the recording, but it specifically says that we are not to communicate with the dead. And you know people do. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Okay. The Bible says don't do that. There are some who say the Messiah hasn't even come yet, denying the deity of Jesus Christ. That's Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. We need to look at these things and call them what they are. Satanism, or the occult, witchcraft, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. So depending on who your ancestors were and where they were from, Germany, Africa, England, Spain, Ireland, Scotland, Japan, China, Eastern religions, Native Americans. Listen, our ancestors were into some stuff. And it was idolatry. And it was an Antichrist spirit. You may not even have known what your ancestors were into. And that spirit can be blocking you and causing problems for you. And God doesn't want that. Jesus came to set the captive free. So, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me and my ancestors, and I forgive my ancestors for the stuff they were into, for the false gods that they worshiped, for the practices and rituals and ceremonies that they took participated in that have brought curses on my life. Forgive me for putting other people or other things before you, which is idolatry. Forgive me, Lord. Now I command those spirits that came into me, into my ancestors, through those practices, and the Antichrist spirit that came with it, to get out of me now. Father, I don't know what they are, but you do. Now I'm speaking to those spirits. Come out of me now. Those Antichrist spirits. Come out of my blood. Come out of my bones. Come out of my organs. Come out of my mind. My heart. My spirit. Get out. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All those unclean spirits. Get out in Jesus' name. All the infirmities that came as a result of it. All the afflictions. Go in the name of Jesus. All the witchcraft. Get out in Jesus' name. All the Satan worship. Get out in Jesus' name. All those Native American Indian spirits. Get out in Jesus' name. All those Catholic spirits. Get out in the name of Jesus. All those Baptist spirits that were wrong, that had error in the doctrine. Get out in the name of Jesus. All those blocking spirits. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get out. In Jesus' name. You might have an Antichrist spirit if you or your ancestors ever took an oath, taken part in rituals, dedications, ceremonies, initiations to belong to an organization or to be employed. Many jobs require you to take an oath. Many times those oaths are made to deities that you have no knowledge of. No knowledge.
Even in the military.
Yes, I have a list here. Doctors, lawyers, firemen, policemen, military, preachers, all the medical. Here's what I find interesting. Part of their oath is to first do no harm, right? And then they'll perform an abortion. Wow, that's a Hippocratic oath. Instead of the... What is their oath?
Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratic. It's a hypocritical oath. even preachers. I went to the ordination of my oldest brother when he became a Methodist preacher. And they were made to take an oath. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Masonic Lodge, other lodges and brotherhoods of all manners. Numbers 30 verse 2 says that when you take an oath, you bind your soul with a bond. Serious. So you can have soul ties with everyone you took the oath with and everyone in the organization. Now let me explain a soul tie. The illustration I use is like a man standing in a boat fishing. The fish are swimming out in the water. They have total authority over their self until they take the hook. They no longer have authority over their own self anymore. That's what happens with a soul tie. That's what happens when you have sex with somebody that's not your husband or your wife. You get a soul tie. You lose authority over your body. Now they have authority. They have a piece of you, and they have authority over that. That's why they keep coming to your mind all the time. That's why they come into your dreams. That's a soul tie. And then it becomes a bridge, and their problems can bridge over to your life or a sickness. We don't want that. When you take an oath, you bind your soul with a bond. James 5:12 says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by the earth, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." There's another place that says, and I think Jesus said it, "Let your yea be nay, your nay be nay, and anything beyond that is evil." So, Father, let's pray. Father, I forgive my ancestors, and I ask you to forgive my ancestors or me for making oaths for any reason and for any oaths that I made that has caused my soul to be bound. I break those soul ties now for myself and my children and my children's children forever. I send their souls and spirits back to them and call my soul and spirit back from them. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to heal every area of my life and my descendants that has been affected by those oaths. And I command every evil spirit that came into me when those oaths were taken to get out of me now. Get out of my bones. Get out of my blood. My organs. My mind. In the name of Jesus. And I break the power of the generationally inherited Antichrist spirit that came into me as a result of those oaths. And I command it to get out of me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Today, I dedicate myself anew to you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, and my Deliverer. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for breaking this Antichrist spirit that's been blocking me from you and for the other spiritual gifts and inheritances that belong to me. I receive them now in the name of Jesus. Father, when we dismiss, as we go to our rooms, Father, I send angels right now to clear out every place that everyone will be sleeping. I bind every tormenting spirit.
Yes.
In fact, right now, I bind every spirit of backlash,
yes. Yes.
And retaliation by the enemy.
Yes.
Those tormenting spirits that would come to say, nothing happened. Nothing happened. You didn't get free of anything. Because believe me, he doesn't want to let go of those areas that he has been ruling over in your life. So I bind those tormentors. I forbid you to bother them in their sleep tonight, even in their dreams. I stand the mighty angels of God around them, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil penetrates. And I bless them with a sweet sleep. Amen. Now, every morning here at 6 a.m., we have prayer. If you came hoping to have personal one-on-one prayer, that's where you're going to get it. Don't catch the ministers after lunch, in between meetings. But listen, God is a God of order.
Amen.
And at Lake Hamilton, there is an order. Prayer takes place at 6 o'clock. So if you want prayer, come at 6 o'clock. Don't lollygag in at 8:30. It ain't happening. 6 o'clock. Everyone that wants prayer, get up and be here at 6 o'clock. We also ask here at Lake Hamilton that, now we understand, I mean, there may be some seated here that I don't even know that's more qualified to do what I'm doing, but we don't know you, and y'all don't know each other. So for your protection, there are to be no private prayer meetings on this campground. No meetings in some room where some anointed person's going to give you a word. If you have a gifting, and you have a word for someone, you bring it here before somebody that is on the staff or that is one of the invited speakers, that we can be a witness.
Yeah.
That's for your protection. Some disastrous things have happened in the past.
Hmm.
And we don't want any disasters here.
Right.
We want to protect all of you. We want you to get freedom, not more bondage.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let me tell you, if you rebel against that, then you're out of order. And if anybody sees it going on, then you have permission to say, hey, that's not supposed to go on here. Right? I give you all that authority that if you see it going on, because we can't be everywhere and see everything, you just say, excuse me, that's not to be taking place here. That's for your own protection and the protection of others. And don't be shy about it. Curfew is at, what time is curfew? I think it's 10, 10, 11. Is it 10:30? I forgot to pick up a paper back there. But curfew is at 10:30. We ask that lights are out at 10:30. And if you're going to lay in your bed and talk quietly, because sometimes the walls are thin and you keep other people awake. We don't want to be disrespectful. And this is not on the paper, but when you leave your rooms, turn out the lights, please. Turn off everything electric. Play like this is your house and you're paying the electric bill. That's not on the paper, but it's a courtesy. We want to save as much money as we can. Meals are on the paper. We meet at 6. We have breakfast at 8. A meeting at 10. Lunch is at 12. A meeting at 3. Supper's at 5. And then a meeting at 7. We encourage you to come to every one of the meetings. I know it's tiring. It's a lot of information to take in. And believe me,
I remember being on that side. Listen, it's tiring on this side. I shouldn't say tiring. It's a physical feat. But God gets us through it, and you won't regret it.
That's
right. So we encourage you to come to all the meetings. Even sometimes, I've heard that meeting before. Yeah, but you know what? This ministry is like peeling an onion. You may hear it the first time, and it knocks off the top three. You hear it the second time, it gets the next three or four. So you can never hear it too much. Kind of like taking a shower. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. We love you. We're thankful that you're here. And see you in the morning. 6:00. Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.